very, very bottom of Bezim and Bez. The two dots, it says, V'leya chatzer b'Yerushalayim. Fascinating topic. We should really spend a little bit more time on this, but today we're just going to go through it a little bit quickly. The Mishnah had told us that due to these lamps in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, for Simchas Beis HaShoeva, what was the story with the lamps? It was a little bit of light, a lot of light? How did it go?
A lot.
How much?
That every chatzer in Yerushalayim.
There was no chatzer in Yerushalayim that wasn't lit up because of the light from these lamps for Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Tano, you learn. A woman would boirer. What's boirer? Separate or selecting, right? She would separate, select chitim, her wheat, the or to the light of the Beis HaShoeva. What does that mean? A woman would separate wheat to the light of the Beis HaShoeva. That means, even though that it was nighttime, she still was able to do whatever normal types of selecting that she would do with her wheat kernels. She was able to do it at night because of the light of the Beis HaShoeva. Sound good? Sounds might be usher, no?
Why are we talking about Shabbos?
If it were Shabbos, it would be usher, okay. Yom Tif, but
you know how to use it for Hama'ar?
Ooh, wow, you're good. Where'd you hear that?
I could tell.
You could just tell. Ayin, take a look. Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, the top Taisus. You guys have it? It's a short Taisus. Anybody want to read it?
Sure.
Go ahead. Rishalmi. Exclamation point. Yerushalmi Parech. Yerushalmi it. What's Parech? What's a Pircha? Asks. Yerushalmi Parech. Yerushalmi it asks. Heich Boireres. How could she be Boireres? How could she be doing Boirer? Ha Ika. Shel Hektish. End of question. Ha Ika. There is, ha'ika, behold, there is me'ila. What's me'ila?
A covering?
Mechila.
Oh, mechila is me'ila. I still don't
know what it is, but I still like me'ila. Is forbidden benefit from things that are hektish. When something belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, so you're not allowed to utilize it for anything, any personal use. So when Achashverosh, when Achashverosh used the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash at his party, he violated an Isser Me'ila. It doesn't have to be that a person is actually drinking the oil from the Beis HaMikdash or the wine from the Beis HaMikdash, even using the cup from the Beis HaMikdash is a violation of Me'ila, even though it doesn't reduce the amount of gold in the cup. But nonetheless, it's still considered to be Me'ila. Anytime a person gets a pruta's worth of benefit from anything that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, it's considered to be, that is a violation of what is called an Isser Me'ila. Bad news. But why would it be Me'ila? Dishemen. Upsila. Because the, what's shemen?
Oil.
And psila? The oil and the wicks, hayu shel hektish, were hektish. Do you remember where they came from, the wicks?
Yes,
from their pants and their belts. The question some ask is, why not from the ksones? Why only the pants and belts? Okay, good question. But, Nun gimel amaral. The top place was, Umeshane, and Yerushalmi answers, Deko umare v'reyach ein bohen mishum me'ila. What's kol? Mare. Sight. V'reyach. And scent. Ein bohen mishum me'ila. Don't have me'ila. There you go. So Yerushalmi asks and answers. open and shut case. So this is a case of benefiting from the light of Beis HaMikdash. There is not Me'ila by light. So sounds like that's it. Vikasha. And that's difficult, says Tosfos. The Beperakal Shah, Gemara Pesachim, Amrina and Allah, we say on this exact idea, Me'ila hu deleka. We are medayek. We extrapolate that there's not a violation of Me'ila. Ha'isura ika. But it didn't say it was mutter. It just said it's not a violation of Me'ila. In other words, like we've discussed a few times, sometimes Chazal will tell us something in the language of Lechachila and sometimes in the language of Bidiyebet. If I tell you, you don't violate Me'ila. You can do whatever. You don't violate Me'ila. So it sounds like you're not allowed to do it, but it's not a violation of Me'ila. Sounds like there's still an Isser. So that's what Tosfos says. It sounds very much, the Gemara Pesachim says, that there's not a violation of Me'ila, but it doesn't mean it's mutter. It doesn't say you're allowed to do it. So that's his kasha. So on the one hand, it sounded like we answered the question. So Tosfos says, we did not answer the question, because the language b'di'evit here is that it's not a violation of Me'ila, b'di'evit. But look, l'chachila, you're not allowed to do it. Yeah? So Tosfos answers, yesh leimar. You want to finish reading, Yudah? Yesh leimar what? So what's his answer? The bereres lav dafka, that she selects is not precise. It's lav dafka. Ella, rather, kloimar, what it means to say is, what?
She could do borer from the light.
Right. Meaning, what do you mean she could do borer from the light?
If she wanted to, she could.
She could?
No, like if she wanted to do borer.
Yes.
Not that she's doing, if
right.
She wanted to,
yes.
If she had the need to do it,
yes.
She would be able to do it because there is enough light to do
but,
it. But you can't do it.
You can't actually do it. There was enough light to be able to do this type of borer, right? That's the way to say it, right? There was enough light to be able to do this type of borer, but you're not allowed to do it.
But because there is light, if you were allowed to do it, she could have done it.
No, in other words, if you want to describe how much light was really coming from the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, so the Gemara is saying, according to Tosfos, the Gemara is saying is, there was so much light that a woman could even do borer at night. A woman can do borer at night from light from the Beis HaMikdash? No! So what are you saying? Come on, give me a break. I didn't mean she's allowed to. I meant it's possible for her to do it. There was so much light, she could even be separating little kernels of wheat because there was so much light in her house. So it's a lot of light. She's allowed to do that? No. Not that it's mutter. It's just a way to describe how much light there was. Okay, that's a discussion that is shown. A fascinating discussion. What's the story with Hana from light and scent and all those kinds of things? Chasidim Anshim Ha'iseh. The Mishnah said that the Chasidim and those who had a lot of Ma'isim Tovim, they did all kinds of performances. You'll notice that the performers were not the best and most talented clowns, the performers were the Chassidim and Anshei Ma'aseh. It's just interesting, right? We're going to see that some of the Chassidim and Anshei Ma'aseh were very talented performers. But nonetheless, it's not that it was a performance so that there would be just people having things to see. There was no offense to Uncle Moishe, but it's not like Uncle Moishe got up and started singing. The pshat is that the celebration involved simcha of the greatest of the gedolim. So it was the Gedola Yisrael that were doing things for Klal Yisrael out of simcha. If a person is not one of the Gedola Yisrael, so I don't know what's going through his mind, and I don't know what he's in the Beis HaMikdash. At the end of the day, there's an Isser, like we described in the past, that a person, when we described yesterday the Mashal, we spoke about the men and the women flirting in the Beis HaMikdash. He said it's a violation of a mitzvah d'oraisa. D'oraisa is mikdash yitiro. There has to be fear, awe of Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, it's a din. It's a din in shul too, by the way. A Beis HaKnesses disappears. I'll tell you something crazy. Years ago, I was learning, you know, when it's Shavuos and your children, they want to learn, they want to stay up all night. Okay, they want to stay up all night. And they try to get them to learn. So I was trying to figure out what to learn with Elisha many, many years ago. So we decided we'll go through the Chafetz Chaim Sefer Mitzvah HaKatzer. He has a Sefer where he goes through all the mitzvahs that are applicable b'zman hazeh. So it's called the shortened book of mitzvahs because they're not that many that are applicable b'zman hazeh. There are a lot. Anyway, I think it was Yud Ches, the 18th mitzvah, and he starts speaking about this mitzvah, Smiktashi Tiro'u. There's a mitzvah to fear the Beis HaMikdash. So I said to myself before I started reading, oh, I know what he's going to say. He's going to say that Har Habayis still has Kedusha, and that Shechina in a Betela, the Rambam says, that the Shechina is still, to some extent, hovering in the Makom HaMikdash, and therefore it maintains its Kedusha. Could have nafka minis if a person wants to shech the Korban outside Beis HaMikdash. How bad is it? Is there still considered to be, technically speaking, a Makom HaMikdash Bizman Hazeh? But in any case, I figured that's what he was going to say. And he doesn't say that. And remember, he's listing mitzvahs d'oraisa that are applicable b'zman hazeh. And he says, Yira min ha-mikdash applies d'oraisa to each and every shul. Wow. I mean, wow. So that gives you a certain perspective about how you're supposed to behave in shul. And what you're allowed to talk about in shul, what you're allowed to do in shul. You're not allowed to read the newspaper in shul. You're not allowed to just open up your phone and check the news in shul. Now, there are certain places that are not technically speaking considered shuls. If there is a shtibel, by definition, a shtibel is not a shul. That's the word shtibel means a room. It does not have Kedusha space at Knesset technically. And that's why they have parties there and all kinds of things. So when they wanted to have a place where they could have seudas and parties, all kinds of things, so they called it a shtibel. But a real shul, a shul has kedusha, so it's a mikdash ma'at. So in any case, the performers in the Beis HaMikdash had to be in the right frame of mind. So mele was the chassidim and anshe ma'aseh. It wasn't just a shtick. It wasn't just a joke. But in any case, Tanu Rabbanan, Yeshmem Oimrim, Ashrei Yilo Deseinu, Shlobaish Ziknuseinu, that there were those who, I don't know if this was something that they said or they chanted, it's not clear exactly from the Gemara exactly what happened, but some of these chassidan shemais, what they would say was, happy or rich was our youth that did not embarrass our old age. In other words, the people who were big tzaddikim were able to say about themselves that they didn't mess up when they were younger, and their yitzrei hara perhaps were greater, that it didn't mess up and embarrass them as they aged, because they were good kids. That's what the Chassidim Anshei Maaseh would say. And there were those that said, Ashrei Nuseinu Shekipra Esilo Nuseinu. Rich is our age, or in our old age, it atoned for what we did in our youth. Take a guess what that's referring to. Elu Bali Tshuva. That's referring to people who did Tshuva. Elu Ve'elu Oimrim. But everyone would say, Ashrei Mishalei Chata. Rich is a person that never sinned. Umi shechata, and a person that did sin, yashuv yim choloi, he should do tshuva, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu will forgive him. Tanya, we learn in Braise, Amr Lava Elazakin, Kishayasemech, Simchas Beis Shoeva. Hil Elazakin, when he was happy in the Simchas Beis Shoeva, Amr, he said, Cain, thus, Imani kan, hakol kan. If I'm here, everything is here. Bimenikan, Mikan. If I am not here, who is here? So what in the world he meant? He meant that he's so important to be there. So the answer is he was saying this in the name of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, third line down in Rashi. Im anikan hakol kan, derish hayala rabim, shaloi yachtu. He was saying this so people would not sin. Bishmoy shalai Kaddish Baruch Hu, in the name of Hashem. Im anikan hakol kan. If I am here, everything is here. Kol zman shani chafes babayas hazeh. As long as I desire this house, Shchinasi shruya boy, my Shchina dwells within it. Yekvoda kayam, avoya kolkan. So my honor is here, and everyone should come here. Vim techatov, asalik Shchinasi, and if you'll sin, and I remove my Shchina, miyavoy kan. So then who's going to come here? It'll be destroyed, and it'll be a place where you can't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. Huayal Emir, Hill also used to say, Cain, thus. Lamakam shani ohev, Sham raglayim aliches I see. To the place that I love, there my feet take me. Imtavay elbeisi ani avoy elbeisecha. And if you come, so in other words, again, this is I guess him speaking in his own words at this point, is that is that he's saying this happens to everybody who drives a car. You ever get in the car and you end up in some place and you're so spacing out, you may not even So tzaddikim, they go to the place that there's ruchnis, there's hashra, hashchina. Their feet take them there, whether they like it or not. So then he finishes by saying, so that's what he's been in the beginning when he says, "Lemakom shani ohev, to a place that I love, sham ragalam alichas, I see, that's where my feet take me." And now Hashem says, "And if you'll come to my home, ani avoyel beisecha, I will come to your home." That when you make the Beis HaMikdash and you treat it properly, that there's Shechina even in each and every individual, and there's Ashras Shechina even in people's homes. But if you don't come to my home, I won't come to yours. Pasuk is used in a lot of different ways, but in all of the places that I mention my name, or you mention my name, or you come to where my name is, so then I will come to you and I will give you bracha as well. This next part is a quote actually from Pirkei Avos. You might be familiar with it. Afu ra'a gulgoilas achas. Hillel Hazaken also saw a skull shetzafa p'nei amayim that was floating or whatever on top of the water. Amar la, so he said to her, because body parts always referred to in the feminine. Adar taf tatfuch matifuch yitufun. Because you drowned somebody else, you were drowned. But don't worry, those who drown you will be drowned too. And everything works mida keneged mida. Amri Yechanan. Similar to what Hillel Hazaken said, the feet of a person are his arev. We're all guarantors for one another. That arvus means that a person is responsible. If you can't do it, you know, then I'm responsible. So a person's feet are his guarantors. So Rashi says, to the place that was decreed upon him to die there, that's where he's going to end up, his feet will end up taking him there to die. That's where his feet will take him. So again, so what's Rabbi Yochanan saying? That Hillel Hazaken said that his feet take him automatically to the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan is saying your feet also take you somewhere else. That where a person's feet are going to end up bringing him to the place that's going to be the end of his life. So listen to this. Hanu tarte kushoi. That there were these two kushoi, whatever exactly that means. But there were these two people. Rashi says it's a lashon sagi nohar. That there were two very, very handsome individuals. So sometimes, people refer to handsome individuals as the opposite of those two ugly guys, you know. But it's just a figure of speech. So they were handsome guys. The Havu Kaimei Kamei Shlomoi. And they were standing in front of Shlomo HaMelech. Elicharef, Achia. Their names were Elicharef and Achia. Bnei Shisha. The sons of Shisha, Seifrim, the Shlomo Havu, and they were, what do you call them? A fancy word for this. The scribes. The scribes. Okay. They were the scribes, not such a fancy word. They were the scribes of King Solomon. Yumachad, one day, Chazi Lamalach HaMavis. You know, Shlomo HaMelech knew everything, right? He knew the birds, what they were saying, and anyway, so he also apparently had a chavrus with the Malach HaMavis. So one day he saw the Malach HaMavis, and he was looking rather sad. The Malach HaMavis. So, you know, I'm not sure we would be so upset if we saw the Malach HaMavis looking sad. But some of us said to him, why are you sad? It was requested of me, Hani Tarti Kushoi, these two Kushi guys, the handsome guys, the Yasme Hacha, that are sitting here. And I can't apparently get them or something. I don't know. There's some kind of problem. He didn't explain what exactly was bothering him. He just said that apparently he had to kill these two handsome guys. So at that point, Shlomo HaMelech seems to have assumed that
the Malach HaBavis, you know, he felt bad because they're handsome.
So he took, whatever, he didn't want to kill them. That's how Shlomo HaMelech interpreted it. He didn't want to kill them. So what did he do? Masrinu L'Sharim. Sorry, Masrinu L'Zairim. Rashi says that Shlomo HaMelech gave these two guys over to the Seirim. What's a Seir? A goat, right? So in the Chumash, you find La Seirim. The Torah says you should no longer sacrifice to the Seirim, to the goats. Who's sacrificing? To goats. So do you remember we spoke about this when we were speaking about Karbanos? That there are three things that we sacrifice, and we don't sacrifice to. The rest of the world sacrifices to them. Right? This is the famous Rambam or Nebuchim, that everyone else sacrifices to them. What are they again? The cow, the sheep, and the goat. So the cow, you got the holy cow. And the sheep, already in Mitzrayim, we see it. But what's the goat? Did you remember? Goat represents? Right. The devil, the demons, those guys, you know? So Zok Rashi, L'Seirim L'Sheidim. Shuhay HaMelech Aleihem. Because Shlomo HaMelech was also king over the Sheidim, over the demons. And he quotes a source. So Rashi learns, the Gemara is saying that he gave these two guys over to the Sheidim. Apparently, that would enable them to run away or escape quickly or protect it. I'm not exactly sure why, specifically the Sheidim. But in any case, he gave them over to the Sheidim. And he sent them to the city that's called Luz. Now, there's a lot of background to this. But suffice it to say, Luz was a special place where the Malach HaMavis had no power. In and of itself, the word Luz, do you remember Luz? Luz was a name of a city in the time of the Avos, and its name was changed. You remember this? Its name was changed to Beisel. Ulam, however, Luz, Shem Ha'ir, La Rishona. Now, if I had a city, lived in a city named Luz, I would also change its name. You know why? Because what do you call somebody from Luz? A loser. So obviously, you want to change the name. But in any case, what else is associated with the word Luz? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that the word Luz is also the name of the bone that Tchias HaMeisim begins with. There are a few different names for this bone. One of them is Luz. So it's fascinating. That's also the Makom Beisel. That's also the maybe the Luz, maybe the also associated with other things, maybe the place where the world began to form from. There's a Bechaye on this. Anyway, there's a lot of background to this idea of Luz and what it represents, all these kinds of things. No. So, and there's another Maise with Luz, and then the guy showed him where. Anyway, whatever. Okay, so he sent these two fellows to Luz because he figured Luz is a place where the Malach HaMavis has no power. Nobody ever dies in Luz. And so therefore, they'll be safe there from the Malach HaMavis. Again, the Malach HaMavis was sad, because that's because the Malach HaMavis doesn't want to kill them, but he's going to kill them anyway. So he sent them away to Luz, and the Malach HaMavis shouldn't kill him. So when they got to Luz, Shchivu, they died. I guess before they got into the city or something like that, right out of the city, I don't know. But before they entered the city, Mistama, they died. Lomachar, the next day, Chazi l'malach HaMavis tavei kabodach. So Shlomo HaMelech saw the Malach HaMavis and he was like, you know, la 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 la. You know, he was like, you know, a badachan is one of these jokers at a wedding. He was just joking around, you know, he was happy. It was all besimcha. Amar le, so Shlomo HaMelech said to him, Amar Medechus, why are you so happy? Yesterday you were so sad. Amar le, the Malach HaMavis responded to him, Basad bo minoi, tamon, shadaradinu, to the place that I needed them to be, you sent them there. In other words, this is why it's on the coattails of Rechman's comment, that the place that a person is, Rachman al-Itlan, is going to die, his feet take him there. The Malach HaMavis apparently has to kill certain people wherever they need to be to die. So the real reason the Malach HaMavis was sad was because the people weren't in the place they needed to be to die. They needed to be somewhere near the gates of Luz. So he was upset. Tashlama, that's why you're upset. He said, I gotta kill these guys today. And then he didn't finish the sentence. Tashlama, Malach figured that meant what he thought. So he sent them away to a place he thought they would be safe. And the truth of the matter is, the people's feet take them where they need to be. That was just the way that HaKadosh Baruch orchestrated it, that they would be in the place they needed to be so that they could be killed. Mishlam HaMelech opened his mouth and he said, the feet of a person, they are his guarantors. To the place that is needed for him to die, they take him there. Okay. Tanya. Learn in a brisa. Amar Lava Lord Shem ben Gamaliel. They said about Rabbi Shem ben Gamaliel, when he was happy due to the simcha of the simchas b'sishoeva, hayanotel shemana avuka shalchor. I guess he was one of the performers, and he would take 8 torches of that were lit. Vizurik achas v'noitel achas. He would throw one and catch one. What do we call that? Juggling. They would not touch one another. And when he would bow, he would stick his 2 thumbs into the ground, or onto the ground, and bend all the way over, kiss the floor, and straighten himself up. Not every creation can do such a thing. And that's what's referred to as kida. So you may find this word occasionally in your learning. There's what's called kida and yishtachava, different types of bowing. So kida is when a person, you know, takes his face and puts it on the floor while his legs are still straight. I mean, I don't know. You know, like people do this with their hands. You know, I'm not that flexible, but you know, people can put their hands on the ground while they're standing up. You're talking about stretches? No. No. What do you call it when a person bends over all the way and touches the floor? What?
I mean, just like normal stretching.
Yeah.
Stretching.
Stretching, whatever. So this is when a person's face is able to go all the way to the ground and kiss the ground. So I don't know. You ever see anybody that can do that? I'm not sure. But apparently it's possible, but it's not so recommended. Levi, Achabi Kida, Kami the Rebbe. Levi did this. I guess he demonstrated it. I don't know. He did this kind of Kida. Maybe he was bowing to Rebbe out of respect. I don't know. But he did this thing called Kida in front of Rebbe, the Itla. And he hurt himself, and he ended up limping because of it. The Gemara says, what? His kida caused him to limp? That's not what caused it. Rabbi Elazar said, le'olam, meaning never, should a person be metiach adam devarim. Metiach hatachas devarim is a language you'll find occasionally in the Gemara. For a person that argues with the Kaddish Baruch Hu in his davening. So, Chana. And Gemara says, Chana, hitiach dvarim klape malo. She was disrespectful. That's the Pasha Dramin Gemara. She was disrespectful in the manner in which she davened, and she said, Kaddish Baruch Hu, look at me. What do I need breasts for? That are for nursing babies. What do I have a uterus for? It's for having children. I have had none. Why did you create me like this? So she was a chutzpahdik, you know, in the way that she davened. So that is not appropriate. So our Gemara says, you should never do that. Because there was a great man, a gadol, that also was chutzpahdik, he tiach devarim. He, I don't know, literally, but he pressed his words klapei mala above. The itla, and he became like lame. He started limping. Umanu, and who was that? Levi. So wait a minute. So according to what you just said, it's because he did kida in front of Rebbe, but that's not what caused his limping. What caused his limping was that he tiach dvarim klapei mala, davened in a chutz b'dikwek. So my answer is hava hagar mele. This and this both caused it. So how do you explain that? This, by the way, is a yesod to understanding a whole bunch of chazals. A lot of time you'll find chazals where there's one reason for something that happened and then another reason for something that happened. We'll make up your mind. So sometimes the answer is very simple. Zev is a garma. Zev is a garim. They both caused it. How do they both cause it? So the answer is the immediate cause was kida. But why did that happen to him?
Because
of what he did. So that was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu ended up showing him what he did wrong, or punishing him, or however you want to look at it, was, but that was just a trigger. Yeah? That was just the trigger. It wasn't the reason why it happened. It wasn't the physical thing. There's a reason why the physical thing happens. That's the Yisod of the Gemara. The reason why the physical problem happened is because he, quote-unquote, deserved it for something else that had happened. By the way, while we're on this topic, when he discusses tefillah, has a completely different understanding of that Gemara. It's obviously against this Gemara, because this Gemara is saying it's negative. But I guess sort of like homiletically, I don't know, that Chaim Lajner learns that Hitiach Dvarim Klapei Mala can mean something else. It can mean that the person davens for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That where the most powerful and in a certain sense the most accurate way to daven, most appropriate way to daven, is that a person takes all the things that he wants and puts them on a Kaddish Baruch Hu. What do you mean? You take the things you want, you put them on a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That if a person is Rahmana Litzlan ill, if a person, you know, wants to dwell on his test, if a person has whatever that he's davening for, instead of davening for yourself, the appropriate way to daven is to say to Kaddish Baruch Hu, I want this for you. Well, why would a Kaddish Baruch Hu want it? So it has to be that that's the way we begin to think. Is that we say to ourselves, what do I need to be healthy for? The answer is, because I want to be able to do Avodas Hashem. What do I want to do on the test for? The answer is, because I want to be able to have a parnasa, I want to be able to support my family, I want to be able to do my Avodas Hashem. I want to be able to give tzedakah. I want to be able to have a job where I can learn.
So everything should just go back to Hashem.
Right. Is that ultimately, and you know when we say this, when we, in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, starting with Rosh Hashanah, what do we say? In the beginning of Shemona Esrei, we say, Zachareinu L'chaim. Melech chafetz b'chaim. Right? Remember us for life, king who desires life. How's it go? How's it finish? The Kosvein would say for achaim, write us in the book of life. Lema'an cha. Lema'an cha. For you, Elokim chaim. Yeah, you hear the word? It's for Hashem. We're not asking for us. What do you mean? We're asking for us. We just ask God to write in the book of life. The answer is, but ultimately it's lema ancha. I'm not doing this for me, I'm doing it ultimately for you. Okay, in any case, that's a very different understanding of Gov. Hitiach Dvarim Klapei Mala. Pushback, what our Gemara seems to be saying, is that it's a negative thing, you're not supposed to daven in a chutzpahdik fashion. Levi Matayel coming to Rebbe. Levi was, Matayel usually means to like take a stroll or something, but here apparently means he was acting in a manner of simcha in front of Rebbe. V'samne sakine. With eight, what's a sakin?
Knives.
Eight knives. Guess what he's doing? He's a good juggler. Shmuel, Kami Shmuel Malka. Shmuel also used to go in front of Shmuel Malka, who was the Persian king. Tamnaya, Mizgei Chamra. With eight cups of wine. And apparently they didn't spill. Not bad. Abaye, Kame de Rabba, with Amaya Beye. And Abaye used to juggle in front of Rabba eight eggs. Ramule, Barboa Beye, and some say, I guess he wasn't as talented, he could only do four. Okay. Tanya. Arishum Kananya. Kishe Hayino. Simechim Tikos Bishra Revelator Nushena Beinenu. When we were rejoicing with this, at the Simchas Pesachoeva, our eyes did not see slumber. Ketzat, how so? So here is the schedule of events. Ready for the schedule of events in the times of Beis HaMikdash? Simchas Pesachoeva. Here's the schedule of events. Sharishaina, first hour of the day. Daylight happens, the sun rise. That first hour after sunrise, they were involved in Tamid Shal Shachar, bringing the Korban Tamid of the morning. Misham Latvila, and then they would go daven. What? I thought we only daven because we don't have a korban tamid. Guess not. So now you have a source. The next time somebody says to you, oh, the Gemara says that tefillos are keneged tamidin tignum, that tefillos are opposite korbanos, that means that when they had korbanos, they didn't daven. And it's only after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash started to daven. That's what it means, that tefillos are keneged tamidin tignum. You'll say, no. No, that's a Gemara in Sukkah, and then Gimel Amud Aleph. Yeah.
What did they daven for? Did they have
Well, what exactly daven depended on exactly the time period. In the first Beis HaMikdash, not exactly clear what everyone was davening. Could be everyone was davening in their own words. That's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah, that originally everybody davened in their own words. There were certain, there was a structure. The Rambam says everyone has to praise a Kaddish Baruch Hu, request from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and thank a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That may be the fulfillment of Tefillah D'Oraisa. So there is a structure. But everyone was allowed to say it however they wanted. By the time the second Beis HaMikdash came around, you had the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah that were already formulating tefillos that we have. What exact years are maybe impossible to know, but during the times of second Beis HaMikdash, Anshe Knesset HaGdolah was formulating the words that we have, Bizman Hazeh. So in the times of Beis HaMikdash, first hour of the day was the Tomei Shel Shachar, and then they went and they davened. So what does it mean tefillos keneged tamid in tiknum nem? Then what does it mean that the tefillos were opposite the karbanos? You know, the time of day, meaning that they were structured based on that. The number of tefillos and the time of day of the tefillos. The number and the time of day were patterned based on the karbanos because there's a relationship between karbanos and tefillah. But it doesn't mean they didn't daven in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, misham the korban musaf, and since it was sukkis, they went and they brought the korban musaf and they were finished davening. Misham the tefillah sam musafin. Now that's a chiddush. And then they davened whatever tefillos they did that corresponded to the musaf. Our tefillah musaf is nothing more than basically wanting Beis HaMikdash back to bring the korban musaf. So if you would have asked me, I would have said they didn't daven musaf in times of Beis HaMikdash, because that's what the whole point of musaf is just to replace the korban. And that has halacha, that's halacha lemaise, that if a person forgot to daven musaf the whole day long, there's no such thing as a replacement. Right, we say that if a person forgets shachar, he's davening twice. So if a person forgot musaf the whole day, you think, well, maybe he can make it up somehow the next day. The answer is, there's no makeup because it's just a korban. But apparently, they had some sort of tefillah that went along with the musaf as well. Misham the Beis Medrash, and then they went and they learned. They had seder time. Misham the Chilut Shasiyah, and then they would eat and drink. They would have their seuda. This is Chol HaMoed, you know. It's Chol HaMoed we're talking about. Wow. Misham Tefillas HaMincha. And after they learned, it was already time for Daven Mincha. Misham Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. And then they would sacrifice the Tamid of the afternoon. So now we're talking about sometime, you know, after Chatzos, it's getting late in the day now, starting to get towards dark. And they Daven the Mincha, and they brought the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar before it's, obviously before sunset. And from that point on, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was a Simchas Beis HaShoeva for the rest of the night. It went on the whole night long. So they didn't sleep for the whole Sukkis? What? Ini, how could that be? If I'm Rabbi Yochanan, but didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, if a person takes a vow, Shavua, I swear, I'm not going to sleep for 3 days. If a person takes such a Shavua, he's not going to sleep for 3 days. Malkin, I say, we give him Malkus, for it's called a Shavua Shav, for making a vow that's impossible to keep. Yashin the altar, and then he's allowed to sleep right away. He doesn't have to keep it because it's not possible. Nobody can stay awake for 3 days straight. You want to try? What? Also not healthy. Yeah. This is what he meant to say. Not that we didn't sleep, but we never had the full taste of sleep for all of Sukkot. Because we would doze off on each other's shoulders. Apparently, you know, they stayed up long enough, they were mamash passing out. So they would just lean, there were so many people in Beis HaMikdash, I guess, they were shoulder to shoulder, no. But they would just basically lean on each other's shoulders, and they would just take a nap. And that was really, that was about it. Because they weren't going to go home and go to sleep, so they just quickly took a quick nap. And that's all the sleep they got over. So, and that takes us to the bottom of the Gimel Amidah.